Good morning.
Good morning.
I hope this will be the last one on chapter 24. Thanks for bearing with me as we went into quite a few rabbit trails. This paragraph 3 is basically where the rubber hits the road. You know, we saw what a civil magistrate is. We saw what its functions are. We saw different things that civil magistrates got to do, if Christians can participate in it, if it's godly. And now this is, we've come to the third paragraph, which actually tells us of our responsibilities and why we should be subject to the civil magistrates. So yeah, paragraph 3, just read that first. Civil magistrates being set up by God for the ends aforesaid, subjection in all lawful things commanded by them ought to be yielded by us in the Lord. Not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. And we ought to make supplications and prayers for kings and all that are in authority, that are under them, that under them we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Just give me one sec. No, that's fine. Sorry, I feel like I was eating the mic, that's all. All right, so just as a context, we've been through this already. So whatever is lawful, commanded by the civil magistrate, we are asked to obey it because they're ordained by God. We've seen that. And when the civil magistrate asks us to do something that the Lord has told us not to do it, we are allowed to disobey. So that's basically the crux of what this paragraph says. And we'll just go through this by answering a few questions. So first one is, why should we subject ourselves to civil magistrate? Secondly, when should we disobey civil magistrates? Thirdly, how should we disobey civil magistrates? And lastly, what are our continuing responsibilities in terms of civil magistrate? Right, so we'll go through these one by one. So if someone could please read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through to 7. All the whys are in those seven verses.
Okay.
Yep.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoing, on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honour to whom honour is owed.
Thank you. So in this, if we go through this, there are seven simple reasons why we should subject ourselves to civil authorities. The first three are basically on the boat. So firstly, we've been through most of these already. So first, government is ordained by God. Now verse 1 says, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So we've seen that governments are ordained by God. They're to be over the people, under God. We also saw that good and bad governments are ordained by God. They're sovereignly placed by God. Why has he done so? It's done for his glory and for the public good. So governments are ordained by God, so we've got a responsibility to submit ourselves to them. Secondly, resistance against the government is actually resistance against God. So in first part of verse 2 says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Again, going back to the first thing, civil authorities, they have the power from God. So if we are in rebellion against what God has ordained, we are pretty much in rebellion against God. But having said that, there's also a small window for us to resist the government as well, which we'll come to shortly. But aside from that window, it is God's design for us to submit to the ordained authority, which is over us, that's a civil government. Thirdly, there is judgment for disobedience. Second part of verse 2 says, those who resist will incur judgment. You know, there will be actions of the state. There can be fines, prison times, you know, jail, reputation loss, loss of money, whatever. That's actions of the state that we might incur, but also we incur the Lord's displeasure because it's violating God's law. So there is judgment for disobedience. Fourthly, in verse 3, we've seen this in quite some detail, that the government is designed to restrain evil and promote good. You know, for the rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. So we got to remember that they are actually there in theory, they are there to restrain evil and promote those who do good. Restraining evil goes all the way up to, you know, capital punishment, wars, security, whatever it is. But they're designed to restrain the evil and also to promote good. And then fifthly, government is God's servant. In verse 4 it says, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoers. And again, we've seen this in detail before. The civil government, they're an instrument for carrying God's vengeance, his justice, and his punishment against the evildoers. They are God's servants. And again, it goes as far as capital punishment and war and severe punishment as well. Now, 6 and 7 are probably the ones that we haven't seen just yet. But in verse 5, we need to subject ourselves to civil magistrate because it maintains a clear conscience for us. Verse 5 it says, therefore one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for conscience sake. You know, we don't obey because we fear the punishment. You know, we don't obey just because we don't want a fine, or we don't want to be arrested, or the shame that comes with it. We don't obey for self-preservation, but we obey because we want to. Because there is a desire in us to have a clear conscience before God. There's a desire in us to love God and his law. So we obey. We obey knowing that civil authorities are ordained by God. It's for his glory. It's for the public good. And if there's any fear in us, it's the fear of God. And also, remember, it's also an act of worship and obedience to God too. And also, when we do obey willingly, there is freedom. There is no fear of punishment. We are free because we obey God. You know, and it's also a public testimony and integrity as Christians too. You know, we are called to be model citizens. So obeying the civil authority and maintaining that clear conscience before God are steps and in holding our integrity before the world as well. So public testimony. Now, lastly, in verse 6 and 7, we see it also fulfills our moral and financial duty. Verse 6 and 7 reads, for because of this, you pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And the civil governments, they are ministers of God. We've seen that. They spend their time maintaining order, fulfilling God's purposes. They spend their time for security and everything else that we've seen before. So we have a moral duty to support them in that. And so paying our taxes, our tolls, our rates, you know, ever-increasing bills, it all shows our Christian testimony. It shows the world that we give what is owed to the government. We pay our taxes, we pay our bills for the services or products that we've used. And we respect and honor our civil officers. Again, just this bit is something that we all struggle with. In fact, I do too. The fact that we give respect and honor to civil authorities, especially when they are not the best. You know, there are some people's name that makes our blood boil. It's said here that we need to respect and honor our civil authorities. And also one more thing to add to it is no frivolous lawsuits. It's not a big problem here, but we see that all around the world, especially in the U.S. too. You know, you are allowed everything under the law to get what you deserve, but you're not allowed to have frivolous lawsuits to take something from somebody that's not owed to you. Again, remembering what when the tax collector went to John the Baptist and asked him, what should we do? He said, don't take any more taxes than you should do. So be faithful in what you do. So those are the seven reasons why we need to submit to the civil authorities. So the government is ordained by God. Resistance against government is actually resistance against... the government is against resistance against God. There is judgment for disobedience. The government is designed to restrain evil and promote good. The government is actually God's servant. It also helps us maintain a clear conscience. And lastly, it fulfills our moral and financial duty. Now, the second question that I wanted to go through is, when should we disobey? You know, there's no justification for civil disobedience over, you know, politics, tax rates, just because you don't like the politician, evil rulers, the government, agreement or disagreement with our theology, social issues, whatever. But there's only two conditions when we can disobey civil magistrate. Firstly, when the government commands us to do something that God told us not to do. So basically, the government is asking a believer to sin. You're allowed to disobey because the final authority is God. Secondly, when the government forbids a believer from doing what God has told them to do. So two sides of the same coin. Now, the reason we say that is what we've been through before again. You know, God is the supreme Lord. He is all the authority. No authority given to the civil government can overrule the authority that God has given them. So the ultimate authority is always God. Second thing that we saw was the spheres of jurisdiction. Remember, the civil government has got no business in our family, no business in our church, and no business in our conscience. When the civil government exceeds their spheres of power into the family, into the church, into our conscience, we've got the right to disobey them. Now, there are really good examples from the Bible, but I'd just like to bring two to you. So the first one is in Exodus chapter 1. If you remember the story, when the king of Egypt asked the Hebrew midwives, two of them, Shipra and Pua, to basically kill the boy child. But we see that these two disobeyed the Pharaoh. And we can see that it's justified here. Because what the king has told them is something that God has commanded not to do. So they disobeyed them. And then we see later in the story that, you know, they feared God, although the king's command was to kill the boy child. And in verse 21, we see that because the midwives fear God, he gave them families, he blessed them. So that's one example that we see. Secondly, we've been through this before again, Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. We see they were preaching in the name of Jesus. They were called to the Sanhedrin, then they were told not to speak in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak but of what we have seen and heard. So their response there shows that we are obeying God. This is what God has told us to do. He's told us to go preach in the name of Christ about what we've seen and what we've heard. But they tell the civil magistrate there that you judge if whatever you're doing is right or wrong. But we are doing what God has commanded us to. So again, we see two examples where, the authority of God overrules the authority of the civil government when they are in opposition. Now, the next question is, how should we disobey? You know, when it comes to a stage where we've got to disobey, it should be done in a Christian way too. Remember, we only disobey, we only get to that point when we've tried everything under the law, we've tried, you know, negotiating, we tried talking, we tried reasoning, none of it works, and only then you come to this the final stage of disobedience. It's a similar thing to what war is. You know, the war is the final step when you've tried all sort of negotiation and nothing works. But again, do it in a Christian way. Firstly, it needs to be non-violent and respectful. You know, no riots, no intimidation, no insults, you know, no going on social media and, you know, hiding behind the screen and shouting at people and whatnot. Now, we're still called to respect the office of the ruler, remember. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "Keep your conduct among Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So we are still asked to be honorable people. We still are, so that the world might see the good in us and glorify God. Secondly, this is where the rubber really hits the road. Remember, when you disobey civil magistrate, there's going to be some sort of consequence. There will be the civil penalties. There could be, you know, not all the time. There could be fines. There could be prison. There could be suffering. There could be punishment, pain, loss of income, etc., etc. But do so with dignity, trusting in God's sovereignty, rather than retaliating against the people. So that's how we are supposed to disobey civil magistrate. Do it non-violently, be respectful, and be willing to accept the consequences that come with it. And lastly, it's a very, very quick session today. What are our responsibilities? So what are our continuing responsibilities, let's say? The confession moves on to remind us that our duty is to pray for those whom God has put over us. Now, we've got to make supplication and prayer for all that are in authority, so that under them we live a peaceful life in godliness and honesty. And it's also a duty to pray for authority, pray for the salvation of those whom God has placed over us. And I love this about our church. We do that often, a lot. So even in our public prayers, we pray for authority, pray for the salvation of our rulers. We want them saved too. And I'd like to end just with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through to 6, if someone could please read that. It tells us of our responsibilities as a citizen to pray for authorities, pray for their salvation, in fact. So 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through to 6. I'd just like to leave you with that. You know, we, after all that we've seen about a civil magistrate, about their roles, about our roles, our continuing responsibility for a civil magistrate is to pray for them. Pray for their, pray that they might be saved. You know, it says, now we pray for a prayer to lead a peaceful and a quiet life, you know, godly and dignified in every way. And it is pleasing in the sight of God, and it says, "Who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." You know, that's what we want. That's what the Bible says is the Great Commission. You know, it's not Christian nationalism. It's not anything else. It's not, you know, wanting theocracies. Not wanting everyone to be, you know, forced into Christianity or anything. Our plea here is to pray for our rulers, pray that we can live peaceful and godly lives under them, and also that they might be saved. And come to the knowledge of the truth as well. So just summing this up, you know, why should we subject ourselves to civil magistrate? Verses 1 through to 7 lists of 7 things why we should. You know, the government is ordained by God. Resistance to government is actually resistance to God. There is judgment for our disobedience. Government is designed to restrain evil and promote good. Government is God's servant. It helps us maintain a clear conscience, and it fulfills our moral and physical duty. When should we disobey the civil government? When the government commands us to do something that God has told us not to do, and when the government forbids us from doing something that God has told us to do. And how should we disobey? Be nonviolent, be respectful, be willing to accept the consequences that come with it. And our responsibility is our duty to pray for our rulers. And that sums up chapter 24 of the 1689 Confession of Faith. Any questions? I'll see if I can answer them. Yes?
Can we view higher powers as different, governing powers?
What do you mean?
Bureaucracies, monarchies, do we view them all the same?
Yeah, they're all, I believe they're all different kinds of, political systems, but they're all ordained by God, whichever it is. I don't think one is above the other. One might work well at one point, so theocracies work very well at early Israel, probably won't work now. So I don't think one is better than the other, but different situations.
So just to add on to that, should we view Sharia law any difference to others? Because I'd say it's just evil.
Yeah, it is evil. Well, even that is ordained by God to bring about his purposes. So, I can't answer why, but yeah. I mean, good and bad rulers are ordained by God to bring about his sovereign purposes and plans. Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
So, probably I don't know if it's even relevant, but what about rules like traffic rules or things like that? Would they come under this as well?
No.
I know where you're going with that. If I find someone driving 30 at 50, I know who.
Yeah, is that breaking a rule of God?
It is still breaking the law. It is still breaking the law, yes. I mean, you are still called to be a model citizen, but it does involve you keep to this posted speed limits.
Driving without seatbelt.
Driving without seatbelt, and yeah.
Yeah. You all went 29Ks, eh? We're in that 30K zone.
Yeah.
When we in the 30K zone, none of you went above 30. Okay. Okay. That's good. Yeah.
One more. You know, in this land, we have this worship law. Right?
Yes.
And we have the same sex.
So that there'll be two things. Yeah. So there's two things to that, right? So firstly, we've got to remember, evil rulers will. We're in a fallen world. There's evil rulers. There's evil all the time. But that's accepting that fact. Secondly, we don't stay silent in that. You know, we have our convictions. We do speak out against it. But we are not to, cause riots about it and, go beat up people or anything. But we are peacefully within the law. We're still allowed to, we've got a freedom of speech. We still use our speech. We still, debate about it. But, there's no force involved in it. We still have convictions. We stay strong in our convictions and speak boldly about it too. Yeah. But also we need to accept we are in a fallen world and it's part of it, unfortunately.
I'm going to ask a really difficult question.
I'm gone.
You don't have to answer, but what do you think about the War of Independence? And did the people in what was to be the United States essentially revolted against their government?
Yeah.
When can you do that?
When it's evil, I guess.
When it's evil?
Yeah, when what the government is doing, what is evil. But again, my thing would be going back to, have you tried everything else? Have you the civil government has got two duties, glorify God, and it's for public good. If the public good part is not happening, I guess that'll be good signs for people to have the conversations about it, debates about it or whatnot. And probably the last step of that would be writing in whatever else it is. But, I don't know, different times.
Because there were lots of Christians who didn't agree with that war.
Mm.
Yeah, because of this very thing.
Yeah.
They thought, no, this is the government that God has put over us.
But all freedom struggles will have the same issue. For instance, one country now, let us say, it takes the control of another country, should those civilians or people rebel against the new country or not? So that issue is always there.
Yeah.
I mean, even the recent war with Russia and Ukraine as well, one part of it that we all, it's overlooked is the propaganda that goes out from the government, right? So, say, for example, Russia and communist places, you've got one media, which is basically the government. They're going to feed this to people, and that's all people know. So, and I wouldn't call individual people, to fall for it, but the civil government would pay for it. Yeah. That war is always a tricky subject. Like someone said, there's no winners in war. Everyone loses something.
The other question is,
That's right.
Well, actually, we rebel against the God. Is it considered as a sin, or is God as in wants us to obey authority, but it's not an explicit command?
We are supposed to obey the authority, but we are obeying God over everything else. But then again, when a civil authority is encroaching into spheres when it shouldn't, there is a good reason for us to disobey. So, I think the most recent example would be from 2021, when churches were called to, shut down, you're not allowed to meet, things like that. Their sphere is not the church. Their sphere is not your family. Their sphere is not your conscience. So anything when the civil government encroaches into any of that, I think it's a reason for us to, because it's something that God has told us to do and which the government is forbidding.
Yeah. It raises a very interesting point about... you're finished, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give an announcement about next week. And also just tailor use this as a platform for doing that. So it raises the very interesting question or conundrum of Christian ethical decisions. Because sometimes there are two biblical principles that you're sort of weighing against one another. Okay, we have to obey the government, but the government is really evil. Okay, so what do we do? Right, so when do we just disobey? When do we do more than disobey and actually overthrow? Do you see? So, anyway, I'm not going to answer that now. But, we're not about to overthrow the government, so we don't need to answer that right now. But what I want to do is promote a series that we're about to start. We're about to start a series on Christian ethics. Okay? So from next week, we're going to be doing a series of difficult ethical questions that arise in modern life and just life in general, and address them from a biblical perspective. Okay, so we've got about, 10 or 15 subjects, which we're going to be addressing. If there is anything that you have in mind that you would like to be addressed during that series, feel free to bring it up and we may expand the series or combine things together as necessary. Okay. But, we're going to be talking about things like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're going to be talking about things like abortion and euthanasia. We're going to be talking about the government's role in different things. We're going to be talking about, what were some of the other subjects? How we use our money, things like that, and so on. So, a series of... on Christian ethics. We're going to be doing that in the weeks ahead. Any thoughts? No. You're just having a quiet giggle. That's fine. Okay. We will... why don't we close in prayer as we finish? Father, we want to be led by your word to live in a way that glorifies you help us to do so well, especially in this sphere of our relationship to the government. Help us to honour them, help us to submit to the law, help us to set aside our own pride and to be submissive in our attitude and approach. Give us wisdom, I pray, in evaluating these things, I ask. And Lord, bring justice to this nation. Bring justice to the world, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.